I know what to do, Janet Salter had said. Did she? Had she done it? Reacher pounded on, one step and another, the wind pushed back at him, ice fragments pattered against his coat. All the feeling had gone out of his feet and his hands. The water in his eyes felt like it was freezing solid. Dead ahead was a bank. It stood alone in a small parking lot, the edge of town, the first building. It had a sign on a tall concrete pillar, red numbers, time and temperature, 1:20 in the morning, -30°. He struggled on, faster. He felt he was getting somewhere. Left and right, there was one building after another, a grocery store, a pharmacy, party favors, DVD rental, auto parts, UPS, a package store, a dry cleaner, all with parking lots all spread out, all for customers with cars. He hurried on. He was sweating and shivering all at the same time. The buildings closed in. They grew second stories. Downtown. The big four-way was 100 yards ahead, right to the prison, left to the highway. He cut the corner on a cross street, turned south at the police station. The wind was howling through the forest of antennas on its roof, a mile to go. He ran alone down the center of the main drag, a solitary figure, ungainly, short, choppy steps. He was bringing his feet up and dropping them down more or less vertically. It was the only way to stay upright. No fluid, loping stride. The ice didn't allow it. His vision was blurring. His throat burned. All around him, every window was dark and blank. He was the only thing moving in a white, empty world. Reacher passed the family restaurant. It was closed up and quiet, dark inside. Ghostly, inverted chairs were stacked on tables like a silent, anxious crowd, all with upraised arms. 400 yards to Janet Salter's street. 40 seconds for a decent athlete. Reacher took 2 minutes. The roadblock car was long gone, just its ruts remained, empty, like a railroad switch. Reacher picked his way over them, headed on down the street, past one house, past the next. The wind hissed through evergreens. The earth creaked and groaned under his feet. Janet Salter's driveway. Lights in the house. No movement. No sound. Nothing out of place. All quiet. He rested for a second, his hands on his knees, his chest heaving. Then he hurried up toward the house. Chapter 39. Reacher stepped up on Janet Salter's porch. Her door was locked. He pulled the handle for the bell. The wire spooled out of the little brown's eye. It spooled back in. The bell bonged a second later, quiet and polite and discreet, deep inside the silent house. No response. Which was good. She wouldn't hear it in the basement. And even if she did, she wouldn't come out to answer it. He hoped. I know what to do, she had said. The basement, the gun, the password. He peered in through a stained glass panel. The hallway lights were still on. He got a blue, distorted view of the room. The chair, the telephone table, the stairs, the rug, the paintings, the empty hat stand. No movement. No one there. No sign of disturbance. All quiet. 43 possible ways in, according to his earlier calculation. 15 of them practical, 8 of them easy. He backed away from the door and recrossed the porch, stepped down and floundered through deep, crusty snow alongside foundation plantings, around the side of the house to the rear. He knew from his earlier inspection that the lock on the kitchen door was a sturdy brass item with a tongue neatly fitted into a heavy escutcheon plate. The plate was set into the jamb, which was a strip of century-old softwood. It was painted, whereas the front door's jamb was a piece of lacquered chestnut, fine-grained and milled and exquisite, harder to replace. All things considered, breaking in at the rear would be the considerate thing to do. He stepped back and took a breath and raised his boot and smashed his heel into the wood directly under the lock. No second attempt necessary. He was a big man, and he was anxious, and he was too cold for patience. The door stayed whole, but the escutcheon plate tore out of the jamb and clattered to the floor, and the door swung open. "It's me!" he called. "Reacher!" She might not have heard the bell, but she might have heard the splintering wood. He didn't want her to have a heart attack. "It's me!" he called again. He stepped into the kitchen, pushed the door shut behind him. It hung within an inch of fully closed. All the familiar sounds and smells came back to him. The hissing of the pipes, the percolator, now cold. He stepped into the small back hallway. He clicked on the light. The door at the bottom of the stairs was closed. "Janet!" he called. "It's me, Reacher." No response. He tried again, louder. "Janet!" No response. He went down the back stairs, knocked hard on the basement door. He called, "Janet!" No response. He tried the handle. The door opened. He took off his glove and got his gun out of his pocket. He stepped into the basement. It was dark. He listened. No sound, except the roar of the furnace and the squeal of the pump. He fumbled his left hand across the wall and found the switch and clicked on the light. The basement was empty. Nothing but sudden shadows from the vertical balks of timber jumping across a bare expanse of floor. He walked through to the furnace room. Empty. Nothing there, except the old green appliance loudly burning oil. He walked back to the door, stared back up the stairs over the front sight of his gun. No one there. No movement. No sound. He called. "Janet!" No response. Not good. He climbed back up to the kitchen, walked through it to the hallway. It was the same as he had seen it through the stained glass panel from the front. All quiet. The chair, the table, the rug, the paintings, the hat stand. No movement. No disturbance. He found her in the library. She was in her favorite chair. She had a book in her lap. Her eyes were open. There was a bullet hole in the center of her forehead, like the third eye. 9mm. Almost certainly. Reacher's mind stayed blank for a long, long time. It was his body that hurt. From thawing. His ears burned like someone was holding a blow lamp on them. Then his nose, then his cheeks, then his lips, then his chin, then his hands. He sat in the chair in the hallway and rocked back and forth and hugged himself in agony. His feet started hurting, then his ribs, then the long bones in his arms and his legs. It felt like they were all broken and crushed.